This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, absolutely delighted to be with you today. I certainly am eager to hear from you right here on Women of Grace Live, where we do love to have that holy conversation with you, edifying each other, building up the church, and enjoying every moment that God gives to us as we experience the abundant life of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Inviting you to pick up the phone and give us a call here. I'm going to give you that number. Ryan Penny is our call screener. Always like to remind you, if you're a first-time caller, let him know, because I've got my great big ding-dong bell here, and I love to ring it to welcome you to the program if you're a first-time caller. So please let him know that, and also let him know how you're listening to us and where you're located right now, and we'll be very, very happy to take your question or comment. You can also leave your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We're available for you there. The chat feature is too, and you use that chat feature to put that question or comment in. Jeff Burson, who's our producer and our social media manager, will dash right out there and get it and put it up on the board, and we'll be able to respond to you via the program today. I do want to let you know, it's Friday. I'll bet you knew that already, right? It's Friday. And that means that today we have our live television program, Women of Grace Live on EWTN Television. It airs at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. I do want to invite you to watch the program today. And we do take your calls at the close of that program, too, in the last half hour. So I want to make you aware of that fact. We give you the number. It's on the screen there for you. And I also say it. And we've got a really wonderful guest on today, Maggie Green. We always get wonderful guests. But Maggie Green has written a book called The St. Monica Club. And this book talks with us about how it is and how it is that we should respond to our children who may have wandered away from the faith. And I'll tell you, I read her book, and she gives great insights, really presents a wide variety of ways to look at this and to tell us how it is that we make our way through those times, what it is that we should do, what it is that we ought not to do, and the sense of that. And she's sharing her own struggle the whole way through. So certainly do want to invite you to join us, Maggie Green, 1 p.m. Eastern Time this afternoon on EWTN Television. It is our one-hour live broadcast, so please do join us for that. Well, you know that we've got all kinds of good stuff going on at Women of Grace. I mean, we've got radio and we've got television. But guess what we have this weekend? We have our online fall Women of Grace retreat. It begins this evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and I am so looking forward to it for so many reasons. First of all, number one, not only do I present at these events, but I'm also a participant. I grow so much from what I hear the speakers have sharing with us. I grow, I think, in my understanding of God's love. I grow in my depth of faith. It expands my way of looking at the world and who I am and who I'm being called to be in it. And, you know, I always walk away enriched, and I know that this is not going to be any different from any of those other experiences, because the theme is so great. The theme is so remarkable. We're going to be talking about prayer. The theme itself is called Open the Eyes of Your Heart, the Transformative Power of Prayer, and we're going to be looking at many aspects of prayer and many facets of prayer, and, you know, this is just thrilling. We're going to start off by talking about what prayer is and why it is that we need it. Father Peter John Cameron is going to present on that topic. I'll be sharing with you about my own journey, my own life of prayer as we move through our program. And then we've got all kinds of other talks that share with us about the different ways in which we pray and why these ways are so important and how it is that they lead us into a deeper relationship with the Lord, but also involve us in His life, in the divine life itself. So I don't want you to miss out on this opportunity. It's a fundamental kind of a retreat. And what I mean by that is, you know, this is the basics. You know, if we don't have a life of prayer, we're going to miss everything. We're going to miss the abundant blessings God has in mind for us to receive. We are going to miss out on the way in which He incorporates us into His divine and holy action. We are going to miss out on the way in which He wants to use us as instruments of divine life in the lives of others. I mean, it's just prayer is just about everything, and it's also healing. It sets us free. It allows for us to experience the fullness of life that God wants to give to us through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and to experience the mission that Jesus says is His. In John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So prayer is the vehicle that brings us to these places. It's the means by which God interacts with us, and it helps for us to know who it is that we are in Him and what our mission and call is in the world today. So we're going to be talking about all kinds of prayer. We're going to be talking about the prayer of praise. We're going to be talking about the prayer of deliverance and exorcism. We're going to be talking about the prayer of intercession. We're going to be talking about contemplative prayer. We're going to be talking about healing prayer. We're going to have a healing service tomorrow evening. And we're going to be talking about the prayer of the rosary. And that is going to be our topic today. Marvelous speakers, how is it then that you join all of those other people that have already signed up? All you need to do is to go to our website, womenofgrace.com. Go out to womenofgrace.com. You'll see we have a big old slideshow there. Number one in the slideshow is this retreat. You click on that. It's a hyperlink. It takes you to the landing page that tells you about this retreat, gives you the list of speakers and their bios, gives you the schedule for the retreat, tells you who's talking about what, and also allows you to register right there. And it is not too late to register. That's the beauty of a virtual retreat. We don't have to, you know, be concerned about the number of people that can fit into the number of chairs that are available in the venue. No. When it's a virtual retreat, we can accommodate hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And we want to accommodate you. We certainly do. So the virtual retreat is available for you there. You can register, as I say. When you register, you're going to get a virtual goodie bag, because we all love our goodie bags. And you'll get a virtual goodie bag that's going to be chock full of very valuable stuff for you that you can all receive virtually. Yep. And it's going to just be dandy. You'll receive your program, of course, that way, but you'll also receive the lyrics to the music that we're going to be singing with Susan Potvin. We're going to also be offering you some very special feature items that you will have access to as a result of signing up for this event. So please do get out there. Oh, and did I tell you that we're going to be talking about how to pray for our dearly departed loved ones and why that is so important and the benefits that we receive by doing so. And that's going to be given to us by Susan Tassone. So all kinds of great things coming your way. I'm very, very excited about it. I want to see you this evening. I really, really do. You know, these virtual retreats, I think, offer us the opportunity to connect and be part of the community of our Lord, the mystical body of Christ, without the threat of worrying about leaving or making arrangements to fly or any of that, or even being concerned about our health. So please do join us. We want to continue to grow in the Lord. So where do you go? Womenofgrace.com. What do? Click on the first slideshow. Where does that take you? It takes you out to a landing page that gives you all of the information and allows you to register right there, inviting you to do that. When we come back from our break, we're going to be with Thomas K. Sullivan. He'll be presenting on the rosary. We're going to be talking about that, and we're going to be sharing more with you about all that's going on. Remember, we take your calls on any topic, so don't feel as though you can't call in, because I'm inviting you to do so. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Also available to you out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Trot on out there. Use the chat feature. We're going to be right back. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, everyone. It's good to be with you, inviting you to pick up the phone and give us a call here. The number to use is this one. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. It's 833-288-3986. That's 833-288-EWTN. Pick it up, call, We want to hear from you. Ryan Penny's ready for you. Give him a howdy hey. And if you're a first-time caller, let him know so that I can ring my bell to welcome you. We always enjoy doing that. Oh, I want to tell you something. It was very interesting. I received an email from someone who said to me that she's very happy that I ring the bell when people call in. And the reason why she's so happy about this is she said because she had an exorcist tell her that the evil one hates when we ring bells, especially, you know, the bells, obviously, in a religious setting. He cannot stand them. And this exorcist always has a bell. It's a consecration bell that has a particularly lovely little sound, she said. And he always has that with him when he is doing exorcisms. And so, you know, here we are, and I didn't know that, but I have a bell. In addition to that, I actually have a bell over which an exorcism blessing was prayed. So, you know, here's the thing. You know, we want to disturb the evil one. You know, that's what we want to do. We want to disturb him. We don't want him to be comfortable around us. So, you know, ringing this bell, here we go, is a very good thing. As a matter of fact, maybe I'll take this bell into the studio this afternoon when I go in to do the live show and find a priest to bless it for us, right? Maybe pray a special blessing over that bell. So when we ding that bell for you, welcoming you, there will be a blessing that goes out. It always goes out with my prayer, but a blessing would be nice too. So isn't that interesting? All of these little factoids that are out there that we always don't know too much about. So who knew what we were doing? But thank you, Jesus, that the Holy Spirit prevails. Amen. Give us a call here at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Before we get to Tom Sullivan, I also want to let you know, Monday and Tuesday of next week on EWTN television program Women of Grace, we're going to be with Susan Tassone. And on Wednesday and Thursday, we're going to be with Teresa Tomeo talking about the election. And I just know that we're going to glean a lot of information from both of these beautiful women who have so much to share on the topics that they're presenting on. So please do mark your day and times Monday through Friday for Women of Grace right out there on EWTN television, following us, you know, by a couple of hours after we do radio. We're on radio here at 11 a.m. Eastern and 1 p.m. Eastern on television. It's always good to be with you. Tom Sullivan, welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you, Janet. It's good to be with you.
It's good to be with you, too. I'm very excited and very giddy about this online retreat that starts tonight. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, I'm really excited, actually. And there was something that, in relation to the registration, that is more of an operational thing, but it's also really cool. If you want to register for the event and you can't be there, but it's okay because you're going to get a playback link after the event where you can watch it for the next month. You know, and so maybe you can, you want to register for the event, you want to be there, you want to hear, but maybe you can't show up, or maybe you can only be there for part of it. Maybe you can only make it Saturday morning, or maybe Saturday you're going to be out in the barbecue or something, and you can only be there Friday night, or maybe you can't be there at all, but you really want to hear these speakers. Register anyway, because even if you can't attend live in person, you will get the playback link a few days after the event's over. And you can watch it at your convenience, all of the presentations, including the healing service. So it's, you know, I'm really excited about it because we have done this once before back in the summer, and the response was just tremendous, and it went off so well. And it was just so fulfilling. I mean, people at home are stuck at home, you know, and to be able to experience the retreat with the presenters, with our Lord and the Blessed Sacrament there, and in the healing service, it's just really great. It really is.
Yeah, you know what, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because the fact of the matter is, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I wish that I would have been able to hear a talk given again. And I was one of those. I am one of those conference goers and participants at conferences where I speak, where I like to get all of the CDs, you know, and listen to them again. But you don't get to see the animation of the speaker, and sometimes just the facial expression puts an emphasis in a certain place that really makes a difference. difference in the way in which you receive the information that's being given. So I'm very, very excited for that feature. And given the whole month, I mean, you can really take this and make a study out of it and invite your family to watch and have excellent discussion afterwards. Or if you're in a Women of Grace study group or any other kind of study group, it provides that opportunity as well. So thank you for mentioning that, Tom. And I want to mention that this is a Women of Grace retreat, but it's not just for women. This is a topic that applies to men as well as women, and it applies to young adults as well as adults who might be a little bit more mature in years. So we certainly do want for you to join us if you're a gentleman. We all need to learn how it is that we pray and how to grow in our life of prayer and how to let the divine life grow within us, right? So, it's going to be exciting. And you're going to be presenting on the rosary. And I mean, you know, I would just say this, Tom, you know, you are an evangelist of the rosary. And I'm right there beside you evangelizing the rosary. We love the rosary. We've written a great book on the rosary called The Rosary, Your Weapon for Spiritual Warfare. We want you to get that. You know, it is the prayer for this time. And sometimes we need to learn how it is that we can mine the treasury of grace in the rosary. And you're going to be helping us to do that through your presentation.
Yeah, and there's two things that I want to say about that. First off, during the last retreat, we had some questions from women that were saying, you know, how do I get my husband involved? And this will springboard off what you were just saying. How do I get my husband involved? You know, when I approach him, he's rebellious and just kind of, and I just can't get through to him. Well, ladies, you're never going to get through to him because as men, that's what we do. You know,
be rebellious?
We rebellious. We rebel. I do it with my own wife, Carol, and I know better, you know? I mean, but I do. If I feel my wife pushing me in a particular direction, even in prayer, and listen, I'm already on board. You know, I'm a warrior in the kingdom. I'm ready to go. But when my wife starts pushing me to do something, even if it's, you know, come on, let's pray a rosary with the kids, and I'm not ready yet, I rebel. And that's the end of it. There will be no rosary tonight, you know? I mean, that's just my reaction. And as men, that's what we do. So women, if you have husbands or sons or brothers that you're trying to, you know, introduce the rosary to or introduce the faith to in general, it's very hard for a woman to do that for another man or for a man, especially if you're related to him, because, you know, it causes rebellion. And so a man is the best way to introduce the faith or the rosary or anything in regards to our Lord to another man.
Interesting.
And my presentation, what I do is, you know, I appeal to that level of a guy, of a man, if you will, to warriorship, to his warriorness. The DNA of a man is to be a conqueror, to be a warrior. And I try to appeal to that because for me, and this is my second point I wanted to make, the rosary is more than just a string of beads. You see, the rosary can do three things and is three things. And this is from Tom Sullivan personally here in my experience over the last 30 years with the rosary. Number one, it is a weapon for warfare. It is a weapon for spiritual warfare. And that tickles men's, you know, trigger. It's like, okay, I'm going to go to battle. I'm going to go to combat. And that just says something. And you want to know more about it. And in my presentation, I'm going to talk about where the battle began, how this battle in heaven began, where it started, the scriptural foundation for it, how it spilled over to the earth to lay the groundwork for this. The second thing about the rosary, though, is it allows us to enter into relationship with God. Mm-hmm. It allows us to meditate on the mysteries of the life of Jesus and Mary as sons and daughters of God. We can enter into their lives. We can enter into this mystery. We can begin developing our relationship with God through this submissive act. I mean, we come to God. We want to have a better relationship, you know, with our Lord. And this is one of the ways to do it. The third piece about the rosary in my own personal life is it gives me personal inner peace, you know. So whether I'm ready to go to combat or whether I just need some peace in my life, it's the same weapon. It's there.
Well, I like what you say about, you know, the whole area of a man evangelizing a man. And generally speaking, that's the way that it goes. And I like the fact that, you know, as you're sharing about that, you talk about the truth of it, you know, that sense of rebellion that rises up in a man. And I just want to say this. I think that sometimes we can all feel rebellious. In our Women of Grace study, the fourth chapter is on obedience. And in that particular chapter, when the ladies are working through that in their study books, you know, we talk about the fact that, you know, when somebody tells you to do something, it's not unnatural for the first response to be a rebellious attitude. I mean, that comes by way of our parents, our initial parents, the first pair, Adam and Eve. And so, you know, but what do we do with that rebellion? Well, one of the great ways that we continue to grow strong in the faith is to overcome it and to choose obedience. I like to say, you know, God has never called me up on the phone and said, Jeanette, what's your opinion about this, right? But he has given me Holy Mother Church, who says, Jeanette, this is where you need to be obedient. So he asks for our obedience, not our opinion, right? And we all need to pray. And the rosary is as we say, the spiritual weapon for this moment in the history of man. And and God wants for us to wield those beads and to acknowledge the power that they have to change the world. And that makes me want to go giddy up. So I'm sure it makes a man really want to go giddy up.
I think it does. And I know, like, the men that I hang with in men's group that I'm in, they, you know, the rosary, when they see it as a weapon, they're anxious to pray it. They're anxious to get into it because they realize that when you pick up a rosary, you are picking up a sword for combat. You're entering into spiritual warfare. I like Father Donald Calloway. He refers to the creation of the rosary as God is the divine blacksmith. As he was over time forming this weapon for combat. And in my mind, I see I go back to the movie Kingdom of Heaven, and Orlando Bloom is this blacksmith, and he's hammering out this sword that will eventually become his sword as a knight in combat, you know. And I see this divine image of God, the divine blacksmith, forming this rosary so that you and I, you know, in our current day, have a weapon for combat. And one of the things that I think that people make a mistake and don't even pay attention to is, well, first of all, they think, well, spiritual warfare, that's for exorcists or that's for the priests, you know. No, it isn't. Every single person is involved in spiritual warfare, and you live your life on this battlefield of life. Mm-hmm. Life is a battlefield. In the military, we call it a theater of operation. This life is our theater of operation, and we are called to be soldiers of Christ, warriors in God's kingdom, doing battle against the principalities, the powers, and the rulers of this world, as St. Paul tells us. Number one, we need to remember that. We can't just go, that's not for me. Too bad. You're already in it. So make the best of it. Find the best weapon you can find, the rosary. Defend the kingdom. Spread the kingdom. And you do that through entering into spiritual warfare through prayer. You know, I said this before in the catechism, when every time you look up the word battle in the catechism, I'm just doing a word search online in the the catechism, battle. And you'll find it over 25 times, and almost every time it is used in the context of entering into prayer, going into battle.
That's right. And, you know, when we think about that reality, it lets us know that we have a mighty job to do. And God has given us this day and time that we might be those soldiers of Christ that wield that rosary and pray so that the world becomes receptive to the blessing and to the grace that God wants to pour out upon it. It isn't that he stops pouring out graces. The graces are always pouring forth from heaven. He wouldn't be God if he withheld his blessings. But the fact of the matter is, our capacity to receive is limited to the extent that we do not acknowledge him and to the extent that we choose sin over his life. So we want to be those powerful individuals that are moving through this day and time with a tremendous effect that's brought about through our relationship with God and by wielding those holy beads. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. Phone lines are lighting up. We've got two open right now. We're going to be taking these calls right after our break, asking all of you to hold on, and we'll get right to you. But we do want to spend a little bit more time talking about this opportunity that we have. So when you talk about this business, Tom, you know, about, you know, this spiritual battle, this theater of operations and everything, and I was talking about, you know, ringing bells and all of that, it reminds me of the fact that Susan Potvin is going to be presenting on praise of the Lord. And praise is one of the means that we have to change the atmosphere around us. You know, these powers and principalities are occupying the atmosphere around us. And we can speak truth into that atmosphere. We can speak praise into that atmosphere. And they will flee. And we're going to learn how that is also a great weapon that we have. And then you were talking about, you know, all of our responsibility to get into this spiritual battle, to be spiritual warriors. And I was thinking of Kathleen Beckman's talk. She's going to be talking about deliverance and exorcism, because these powers and principalities are real. But God does not intend for us to be cowed by them, nor to be afraid of them, because stronger is he who is in me than he who is in the world, right?
Right. And the thing, too, you know, I was rooming one time with an exorcist. If you remember, we did a spiritual warfare conference up in Philadelphia back in 2000, I don't know, three maybe?
No, and, nine, I think.
I don't remember. It was a long time ago. I remember saying to him, I said, hey, Father, well, you know, knowledge is power. And he looked at me and he said, Tom, no, it isn't. Knowledge is freedom. And I meditated and thought on that, and I was like, wow, that's profound. And then I realized that spiritual warfare that we're talking about, and not being fearful of the evil one and all of this, they are all around us. As you just said, you know, greater is he is in me than is outside. But they're all around. Father Gabriel Amorth once said, when he was doing an exorcism, he asked the demon, how many are you? And he said, if you could see us, we would blot out the sun.
Wow.
And so they're in the space. They are around us. So, yes, the praise, as you're talking about, and prayer. But for me, what was so was so penetrating from what this exorcist said to me was that knowledge of the spiritual battle, knowledge of the hierarchy, knowledge of the fallen angels, knowledge of the power of prayer, it all begins in a classroom. And I believe presenting on the rosary in the bigger picture, understanding the theater of operation, gives you the freedom to be strong, to be confident, and to embrace our Lord and what he has planned for you. The freedom to do that, not the fear.
You are going to be revealing all of that to us through your talk. And I think that already, friends, you're seeing why we are really promoting this beautiful event. Get out to womenofgrace.com. Click on that first slideshow. You can register and sign up right there. We're going to be right back with you. We're going to go to the phone lines, 833-288-EWTN. Stay tuned.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. We're always so happy to be with you right here on Women of Grace, where we have this holy conversation Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Always inviting you to be sure to set your alarm on your phone or however it is that you get your alarms these days to join us Monday through Friday. Lots of people calling in. We want to give you that number, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. It's toll-free for you right here in North America. Available to you, too, out there at EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. Use the chat feature to put your question or comment in there. Jeff Burson will dash on out there and get it and put it up on the board. Ryan Penny will greet you when you call in. Be sure to greet him back. Say, howdy, hey, Ryan. And if you're a first-time caller, let him know. Well, Tom, you want to go to the phone lines here?
Sure, let's do it. You bet.
Okay, let's go to Diana. She is in Orange County, California. She is with us via the EWTN app. Hi, Diana.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm definitely going to be, as soon as I hang up, we'll be signing up for the conference.
Excellent.
Just listening about the rosary. I definitely need some just help here. But so basically my question is, I called back in February and, you were incredibly helpful. I suffer from a chronic, pain condition that was caused by a surgery, 2 years ago. And, I have some, you know, so the past 2 years, my life has been a constant begging God, because, you know, this has impacted not just, you know, physical pain that I can offer up and unite to the cause, but it's impacted other areas. Financially, it's been very devastating on my family. It seems like once I start coming up for air and once I start saying, okay, I got this and I want to be in this, you know, beautiful, peaceful intimacy with our Lord, I want to praise Him, I want all the peace that, you know, can come from prayer, we get hit with something else. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like I'm just constantly on my knees with my hands out like a beggar going, please, Lord, please help us here. And I can't seem to progress to the next level of prayer. And, you know, just yesterday, right, and it seems to always come when I'm starting to feel that peace, starting to think, okay, you know, I go to daily mass, I try to do at least 1 hour of adoration a day. So right when I start to feel, okay, I got this, this is, you know, I'm progressing, we get hit with something. And, you know, yesterday my son, who's only 22, has been showing some signs of, you know, some health issues, and we haven't been able to pinpoint what it is. And yesterday we had a doctor appointment that was very scary. You know, he's got something going on. I just broke down, and I thought, what's the point? I'm begging, Lord, but you're not. I feel like the more I pray, the more I'm getting hit. So I do feel like I'm in a battle, but I feel like I'm standing. I just keep picturing myself getting knocked down by waves, and I just want to come up for air and just thank Him.
Oh,
but it's hard.
Oh, my goodness, darling. Well, we're going to pray with you in just a moment, but what I want to tell you and what I want to share with you is found in Philippians, and it's found in Philippians chapter 4. And I think that what it does is it gives some guidance to you in this moment, but there's more to say, and I'm going to let Tom respond too. But this is what we read in Philippians 4 at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Everyone should see how unselfish you are. The Lord is near. Dismiss all anxiety from your minds. Present your needs to God in every form of prayer and in petitions full of gratitude. Then God's own peace, which is beyond all understanding, will stand guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And just to do a very brief exegesis on this, notice what it says right in the very beginning. Rejoice in the Lord always. So what St. Paul is telling the Philippians and telling us too is that no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation, no matter how bleak it is, no matter how painful it is, no matter how much it makes you suffer in the travail that you're in, he's saying, rejoice in the Lord. And he's encouraging us to praise. And there is a dynamic in praise that changes things, as Tom and I were talking about. It changes the atmosphere around us. The evil one can't stand it. And note that word always. You know, Paul doesn't say, well, rejoice in the Lord when everything is going swell. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And I want to tell you from my own personal experience, and, you know, hopefully I'll remember this and share this tonight as well. The fact of the matter is, you know, I have noticed in my own life of prayer that when I praise God, when everything is topsy-turvy in my life, it's then that I begin to feel the greatest release interiorly. And it's then when I begin to climb above the circumstances rather than letting the circumstances hold me down and begin to oppress me. So I think that that's what you should do. One, begin to rejoice in the Lord, even in the midst of all this. Is it wrong to petition? Absolutely not. And he addresses that in that same passage, that we're to present all of our needs to God in every form of prayer and in petitions full of gratitude. So present your needs, but also be grateful for whatever it is that is blessing in your life. And that's another little tip on how it is that we can praise the Lord. When we begin to praise the Lord, we take the focus off of ourselves and place it on Him. When we place it on Him, then we can begin to recount the ways in which we're actually seeing grace happening. And we have to look for that grace. You know, in another part of Scripture, Jesus tells us, you know, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened for you. But we do the asking and the knocking real well, all of us. But the seeking, looking for the Lord in the midst of the situation and circumstance, we often fall down on. But it's when we do that seeking that we can experience that gratitude. Then another benefit from this praising business is that it says the Lord is near. We realize that the Lord is near. It says in sacred scripture that God inhabits the praises of his people. So when we praise the Lord, he comes down and he sits on the throne of our praises, scripture says. And I like that. And we can use our imagination to picture him doing just that. We start praising him. We can see him. We can image him in any way we image him. Maybe Jesus, you know, with a scepter in his hand and the world in his other palm, sitting on the throne of our praises, that we're creating a throne out of those praises, and he comes. And it says, dismiss all anxiety from your minds, because it's not possible to be fearful when we acknowledge the fact that the Lord is near. Now, that being said, and I'm going to let Tom speak to this, but I want to tell you, number one, anyone who's growing in their life of prayer always feels that they're at the beginning of prayer. They never feel that they're an accomplished prayer, even though they might be praying for years and could even have very deep mystical experiences of the Lord. They always feel that they're beginners, because no matter what the Lord reveals, you always see how much more there is that you have not yet experienced or realized. So they always feel as though they're beginners. And there are always times in our lives where we feel as though everything is just piling on us. And I know, Tom, you can talk to that.
Yeah, you know, Diane, I can relate to what you're saying, because I've actually been down that road, the road you're on. If you look close enough, you'll see Tom was here along the way. I, too, deal with chronic pain. I was injured when I was in the military, and I was paralyzed from the waist down for 3 months, and I went through a year of rehab, and this pain has continued and has continued for the last 30 years. Also, in my children, you know, my youngest son diagnosed with leukemia, and I'm crying out, God, what's going on? You know, and I just continue to pray, pray my rosary and offer it up to our Lord. But, I've been there, and I understand that the walk is drawn. But I would say this in all of my journey that I have learned, and it's simply summed up in two words: trust and surrender. Mm-hmm. Those are the two words, and mm-hmm. those are the two words that I've embraced. When it comes to all of that, whether it's something new that comes up in my life that I have to struggle with, whether it's with the kids, whether it's with the family, I have 6 kids and I have 15 grandkids, or my own personal married life, whatever it may be. Once I offer it up to God, once I give it to him, my wife keeps reminding me, we gave him to our Lady, we gave him to our Lord, now stop taking it back. And we have to trust, and we have to surrender that to God.
Well, I just have to say that Tom has a very special mm-hmm. wife. She spends hours before the Blessed Sacrament. And Tom calls her our little sniper, because she prays for women of grace all of the time. And Tom, thank you so much for sharing from your heart there. And having been your friend and Carol's friend for all of these years, I've watched the two of you walk through those very difficult moments. And you have walked, the two of you have walked with me through my struggles and trials. And Diana, there's something, you know, that the great saints tell us, and I think it points to the fact that you are a daughter of predilection, meaning that God has abundant graces in mind for you, because it seems as though the way in which he shows his love for us is by incorporating us more and more into his cross, so that we can experience the wonder and the glory that comes in uniting our sufferings to his for the salvation of souls. So, you know, even the fretful moments, maybe especially the fretful moments and the feeling of desolation, that becomes a beautiful prayer when you offer it to him. So I want to encourage you this day. And Father God, I just ask that in this moment you would bless Diana. And Father God, you know, we are so weak as human persons. We need to see that you are with us. And you love us so much that you desire to reveal yourself to us. And how many times in prayer have we each asked, Lord God, just to make your presence known? And in your gratuity and your great love, you do. And so I'm asking this for your daughter, Diana, today, Lord, for the sake of encouragement, to give her a consolation, something that she understands and sees clearly, and know, so that she might know that indeed the words of St. Paul are true, that the Lord is near, that you are with her. And when we recognize that reality, the anxiety does flee, and we find the strength to go on one step after the other. And so it is that I ask this of you this day, and I entrust your daughter, Diana, to the most beautiful and immaculate heart of Our Lady. And I ask you, Mother, to put your mantle of protection about her son. And I ask also that through your gracious maternal beatitude, she would experience that abundant life of your son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We do pray this, Father, in the name of your son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with that maternal beatitude and intercession of Our Lady. Amen. Diana, thank you, darling. And I'm glad you're going to sign up, because I'll tell you what, you're going to gain a lot of consolation just through what you're going to be hearing from our speakers, okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much to both of you. I mean, that just, those are words of peace that I just needed so much. Thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
God bless you both.
God bless you, darling. Bye-bye now. Let's go to Mary. She's in Des Moines, Iowa. EWTN app is the way that she is with us as well. Hello, Mary.
Oh, hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. I just had a comment. Yesterday I was listening when the mother called in regarding her 15-year-old son.
Yes.
Who was frustrated with the church and embarrassed to be a Catholic. And all those things, even though believing that the church is the one true church, just very frustrated,
yes,
as I think a lot of people are at times right now. I would just like to share something with him that has helped me.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So during Holy Week, when we read the Passion and we are the crowd and we are all chanting, crucify him, crucify him, I've always wondered and I always put myself there and I wonder, what would I have done? You know, would I have been one of the people who ministered to Jesus and followed him through the streets to the foot of the cross? Would I have been one of the people shouting, crucify him, crucify him? Would I have just stayed away out of fear? And to be honest, I think I probably would have been the latter. But I was praying the Sorrowful Mysteries one day and had a very strong feeling that when Jesus was sweating blood in the garden before he, you know, undertook his passion, that that was for the church. Because he knew what was going to happen to the church. He knew what was going to happen to his bride. And it came to me that, you know, you can answer that question now. Because the church is being scourged. The church mm-hmm. is being mocked and spat at and carrying a heavy cross from, yes. you know, some of the sins of some of her priests and all that. And so you can answer that question now. Standing with the church is standing by Jesus.
That's right.
And you can pray, and you can be faithful to the church, and you can trust in the promise that the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. So
you know,
that's just something that's helped me kind of get through this ambiguous time and, like, the scandalous time and you know, all the stuff that's been going on in the church.
You know, Mary, that is absolutely beautiful. And, you know, as you were beginning to share, the thought came into my mind, you know, that it poor Holy Mother Church, you know, she is the bride of Christ. She and the church is the mystical body of Christ. And how painful it is when your own turn against you. I'm remembering a passage in Corinthians where St. Paul itemizes for us, you know, all of the different trials that he's experienced. He's been scourged 40 times and shipwrecked and these things. And he goes on, he says, but the greatest suffering of all is that which comes through my own brethren. And how painful it must mm-hmm. be for the mystical body of Christ, how painful it must be for the bride of Christ, how painful it must be for our Lord himself. To experience the brethren turning against him and defiling that bride that is his. So thank you very much. And those words, the gates of hell will not prevail against her, I think are very important for all of us to hold on to in this moment. Tom, how do you respond to Mary?
Yeah, I think those are really good words. And I would also emphasize the fact that we have to remember that you and I are sinners. The priests are sinners. The bishops are sinners. The Pope is a sinner. The only one who's perfect is Christ, and he's the one who founded the church. And in these trying times, in these dark times, that's where we need to keep our focus. We need to keep our focus on two things. One, Christ is perfect. He's the Son of God. He is God. He is our God. He's our brother, and he founded the church that I'm part of. And no matter what anybody does within the church, they're not the founders. Christ is. And that's where my faith lies, not in the Pope, not in the bishops, not in the priests, and not in my neighbor, but in Christ himself. And he founded the church, and I'm a member of that church, which is the kingdom of God on earth.
Yeah. Yep. So I thank you very much for that, Mary, and I just know that what you've said has touched so many, and I do believe that it's going to help our caller's son as well. So thank you for your call, and God bless you. Let's go to Joe. He is in Dunwoody, Georgia today. The Quest Radio is the way that he's with us, and here we go. First-time caller. Thank you, Joe. It's good to be with you. Thank you for joining us today.
Hi. It's nice to hear your show. I'm devoted to the Rosary, too, and I can't tell you how blessed I feel to hear you say that the Rosary, like Padre Pio, is a weapon, and it is a weapon for these times, and I just wanted to tell the lady in Orange County that I'm praying for her, and that I, too, get in these times when it seems like I get a little bit of victory, and so I pray a little bit harder, and then something really bad happens, and I think, oh, my God, how could you do that to me? And I choose to believe that kind of is the enemy, knowing that God's giving us great success and putting up a little wall to say, oh, really? Now how do you like the Rosary? You know what I mean? So I just pray another Rosary. And I'm the youngest of 10 kids, and I used to ask my mother would say, oh, I'm praying a Rosary for you. And then I would talk to one of my friends, like, later in the day somewhere, and they would say, hey, man, tell your mom thank you for praying her rosary for me. And I'd think, how can my mom be praying her rosary for all these people and all of us? And so I told her one time, I said, Mom, do you just mention everybody's name? And she said, no, Joseph, while I'm knitting or doing my housework, she says, when I'm done with one rosary, I just start another. And she says, God and the Blessed Mother will never forsake your rosary and your efforts in prayer. And so now that she's gone, not only do I feel very close to my mother when I'm praying the rosary, but I, too, practice that same. I'm Latin, and I'm very reactive, and sometimes I'm, and I really don't mean, but I need to just, like, take a breath and remember, say another rosary, Joseph. Instead of speaking up and making a fool of yourself, say another rosary and just let people think you're a fool. So I just wanted to give the lady in Orange County, California, tell her that I'm praying for her and for her son, and that good things come from perseverance and prayer.
Oh,
and thank you for your time. And I just enjoy your show. It's not just for women. It's for anybody that believes.
Oh, Joe. Well, thank you so very much. And, you know, if you have the time and you can do it, please do join us for our online retreat, which is coming up this evening, because I think that you would really enjoy it. But I just got to say, you know, I just love your response. And what really touches my heart is you, you know, reaching out to Diana there in Orange County and telling her that you're going to be praying the rosary. This is what I love about Catholic Radio. We are truly a community in the Lord. And Tom, it never ceases to amaze me, yeah, how it is that we stand together.
Yeah, you know, and it's also, you know, Joe, it's a real mark of a soldier of Christ who can take a look at a situation, even in his own life, and say, okay, I'm not going to respond because tactically that's the wrong military move. I'm going to arm myself with another rosary, and I'm going to be offensive. I'm not going to become a victim of or collateral damage as a result of me reacting, going, rah, you know. You look at the strategic move and you say, nope, wrong move. This is the right move. I'm going into battle here. I'm going to pray another rosary. And remember, Father Bill Casey from the Fathers of Mercy said, you know, the rosary is it's a spiritual assault weapon with a 150-round clip, you know.
Every
bead is a weapon, you know, against the evil one. Every bead you pray. So even if you only prayed one bead and could focus, and you may lose your concentration in the next 3 or 4, 8 or 10 beads, but you got one or two of them, those hit the mark.
That's exactly right. Well, you know, and that's the deal. You know, we sometimes get frustrated with ourselves when we pray the rosary because it's a long prayer. But the fact of the matter is, if we if we pray one Hail Mary, and we pray one Hail Mary with great intentionality, oh my goodness, it's like a nuclear explosion of grace that goes off. We are down to just 2 minutes left here, I think. We're getting that signal. Oh, 90 seconds. And Mark, you know, Kitty, I'm so sorry I can't get to you today, but I'm hoping that you'll call in next week and share with us about the healing you had with the rosary in this past month. And Mark from Scranton, PA, is saying, Tom, that he is overcome with fear. And I don't know what that fear is about. He's a first-time caller. And Mark, I'm so sorry we can't get to you, but I want you to call back on Monday. But give Mark a word of encouragement as we come to the close of our program today, Tom.
Yeah, Mark, just remember this. Fear is one thing. It's false evidence appearing real. All right? It's not real. Trust and surrender in Christ, His Blessed Mother. Hold on to a rosary, and you have nothing to fear. Fear is false evidence appearing real. It's all smoke and mirrors, my friend.
There you go. So meet it with trust, true resolve under severe testing. And the way Amen. We meet it is with the rosary. Put those beads in your hand, Mark. Well, friends, it's been great being with you. Hope to see you all tonight. Oh, my goodness, we're so excited. WomenofGrace.com is the way that you can sign up to join us. Until we're together again, may the abundant life of Jesus Christ be yours. Bye-bye now.